Welcome back, everybody. Yes, something was cruising around my head around Brandy. So Brandy is this woman who was speaking about her kid, the bucket list. And I'm wondering, Brandy, if there is something to your relationship with your daughter or your mother's relationship to you, but look at it in terms of separating needs and desires. Because you said it was about your mom couldn't satisfy your desires. I'm wondering if your needs were met. If your needs were met, yeah. Because as a kid, we don't know the difference. And we're just hungry for love, for security, for reassurance, basic stuff. And that's all your daughter needs. She just wants to hang with you and be who she is. That's all we need, really, all our lives.
Thank you. That's
so,
very helpful.
Yeah, separate the needs and the desires. It's like, okay, there's my daughter. She's coming to me for the next 5 days. All right, let's see what she needs at any moment. What does she need, really need? So you get super clear about needs and desires. Only satisfy her needs. Desires, heck, have fun together.
Okay.
Yeah. And I suppose in our own work too, around looking at desires, I can't remember who, I'm gone fuzzy now as regards, was it this morning or last night? When we talk about like establishing goals for the personality, establishing what's good for the personality and what the personality needs to do in order to kind of structure and a lifestyle. That's a really good place to figure out, well, what do I absolutely need? What are my needs here? Yeah, to be healthy, to be able to support myself. Basic stuff. Separate your needs. Then the desires, okay, that's the spiritual work. That's the spiritual work. But if you have a very clean understanding of where your needs stop and start, and where your desires start, because your desires can just go on forever. If you can get a clean line there, be really honest with yourself and figure out your needs and your desires. Only the desires must be dropped. And some people will have needs like somebody might need order. My husband needs order, and I'm all over the place. Like literally the other day, he's actually still saying, I can't believe I'm like, okay, babe, come. Anyway, last week I discovered that cold taps are always on the right. And hot taps are always on the left. So it's like a disaster when you have a mixer and there's no red and black, red and blue. I mean, it's like, shoot. Never ever did I register cold is always on the right. Do you know? And some of our brains just order doesn't come easy. It just friggin' doesn't come easy to me. I'm multitasking and very little gets done very often because I'm doing all these different things together and that's just how I'm wired. Fight it though I may, I will not become more productive. But there we go. So, but my husband needs order. He really functions much better when there's order and routine and set stuff. And I'm like, what? How do you mean it's always like that? Really? And I can't even find a freaking timeline. Timeline, you know? So, you know, we're all different. And what might be a desire for you might be a basic need for somebody else. That's the point to remember. What are your needs? And get them met within yourself. Become autonomous, independent. It stops the neediness being spun out to other people because there's nothing as yucky as being needy in a relationship with our families, whatever. There's no need for being needy. Be autonomous, but know where your needs stop and start, and where your desires start, and draw the line between the two. Satisfy your needs, and the desires can go. Okay?
Just wanted to
cover that bit of ground there. Tito, and then... Tito, okay? Please.
Wonderful. Retreat so far for me.
Good, I'm glad you're
So I waited and I waited and I waited. I came with a certain thing. Certain thing to do, and then I just waited and waited, because then a whole bunch of stuff came up because of the way it was a great thing so far. And then the same thing kept coming up.
Ah.
So.
For you, inside you.
Yeah. So what it is, I don't know if you remember back in April when you were here, you, in the last part of the retreat, you talked about Byron Katie's work. And I did that seminar a couple of years ago. And she has a whole army of people that volunteer to help you. And I, first of all, I think I need to preface this by saying I'm a massive resistance. I'm resisting everything. But this particular thing, as you know, I don't know if the other people understand about Byron Katie's work, but what it does, it gets you to strip away the things that don't belong to you. The programming that your mother introduced to you, your father, your friends, your school. And I've got this belief that the only way that I can actually make it work is if I get it when I'm absolutely keyed in. And obviously when I'm keyed in, I'm doing something. I'm a security person in the place that I live in. I'm on the job, although I don't have to actually, you know, it's kind of just a job that I have to be there. But I can sit there and
yes,
do these sheets.
Sure.
And I just completely resist it. And every now and then it gets so bad that I do it after I was keyed in and I wrote the sentence that I'm supposed to write. You know how it works, right?
When you mean keyed in, what's keyed in?
Well, for example, I have this chaplain. I'm in a military installation.
Okay.
And there's this chaplain that is able to hold a contrary concept. He's a devout Christian. He believes the world is only 6,000 years old, and he believes Armageddon is coming very shortly. And but he always wants to talk to me, and I have to introduce him to the Buddhist concept of way of looking at things. But I got into the situation now where I'm kind of dependent on him coming in there and talking to me. Because he makes the rounds every day, and I'm on duty. And he comes in, and he always stops and talks to me. And every now and then, he has to go someplace, and he doesn't show up, and I feel upset about it. I'm not trying to convert him. I'm just trying to have somebody that I actually can talk to, because in the military installation, they only believe in two things. Kill the enemy, die for your country, and that's it.
Yes.
There's nothing else.
Yes.
So the people I have to talk to don't have any kind of concepts like what we're talking about. As a matter of fact, they probably think I'm an idiot if I ever brought it up.
Sure.
But at any rate, I don't like this dependency.
Yeah.
And when it gets keyed in and I feel upset about it, I want to go to do the work. And I can't get it. I set the papers down there, I'm all ready, I have the thing. And then I figure, oh, I better make a round.
Uh-huh.
So I got to escape, you know.
Yeah.
So I kind of know what's going on.
Yeah. Good.
And let's put it this way. I don't know if people here understand this particular part of it, but you probably do.
It's fine.
I have this inner child that believes that we need to be masochistic. I have to be tormented. I have to be beaten up. And I tried to talk to him about it, but I can't really reach into him, so I figured, well, if anybody can get to this character, it's got to be you, right?
Well, you'll get to it, but I might help you, but you'll find it.
So anyway, he doesn't trust me.
The inner child?
Yeah.
Yes.
He thinks that if I'm my authentic self, I'm going to be predator. Because I'm stripping away all of these things from my past. And I'm in the defeat cycle.
Yes.
There's two cycles, a defeat cycle and a victory cycle. And right now I'm in a defeat cycle. Supposedly I'm kind of paying back. When you have victories, then you have to lose.
Yes. Yes.
So this inner child's job is to make sure I continue to lose. So if I start stripping away important elements of this belief system, which actually don't belong to me, it belongs to some past concept that
yes.
I have.
Yes.
Some past things that I, kind of like Donald Trump, you know? Maybe that's why I hate the guy so much. He reminds me too much of myself in the past.
Yes, yes.
You know, the inner child is starting to feel better about this.
Okay.
I can feel him letting go a little bit.
Yes.
Because the inner child doesn't remember this. His job is to maintain this defeat cycle.
Okay.
But the work, when I discard those things that, for example, remember we did the exercise of being behind yourself?
Yes.
Well, that's complete freedom.
Yes.
And when you give up that freedom, you give it up because this imaginary being that's out there has a hold of you. Doesn't exist.
Yes.
He's just a projection.
That's right.
And I have no idea what I'm trying to do with this person, but I can't resist the idea that I need to talk to him. Does that mean?
No.
Oh, I need to talk to him every day. And if I don't talk to him every day, I get upset. And that means that he owns me. And that's what the work would do, because I've already done one part of it, and I got relief. And then I got called away, and I couldn't finish the cycle. And then when I came back, it was cold. See, God, I have a belief system that this doesn't work unless it's hot.
Uh-huh.
Now, that could be wrong, because I know that I've done it when it was cold, and my environment changed. Like, I had three people that were kind of like enemies. See, I'm a guy that I'm a security guy, and I have to, if somebody says he's going to murder somebody, I got to report him.
Sure.
But then when you report somebody, they're pissed at you and they're going to kill you, they say. I don't know.
Okay.
That's the kind of job.
Sure, that's the environment.
But so, and not that I really care about it, you know, but it is upsetting a little bit. So when I started doing the work on these things, when it would burn me up and all that stuff. And they disappeared.
Yes.
They're not there anymore.
Yes, they're not active.
So I know this works.
Yes.
And right now, this is a huge barrier, because maybe it's the big barrier.
There mightn't be a big barrier.
Huh?
There mightn't be a big barrier.
Well, I sure feel a lot better now, because that little bit inner child is starting to get the idea that maybe it's integrating like he's supposed to do.
Yes.
He was supposed to be doing that before when I was doing it by myself.
It's okay.
But he's just too
yeah.
Too powerful. But
yes.
Talking about it in terms that is in a clear environment.
Yeah. Makes a huge difference.
Makes a huge difference.
Huge.
He's telling me right now, please don't kill me.
Yes.
You're trying to kill me.
Yes.
But it's not as strong as it was before. And you know, when you talk to the inner child, when you do the inner child process, you just talk to them and say, it's not that I want to kill you. I want you to just relax, because you're out there. I want you to integrate back into, because you're a part of me. I created you.
Yes.
You know, because I needed this check. You know.
It's fine.
Why? Oh, and the solar plexus is just...
This is fine, folks. This is when a belief system breaks for Tito, it always works like this. So.
I just don't want to die. I don't want to die. You're trying to kill me.
The death you are imagining is not going to happen. There is no death. It's just a thought about death. There is no death. The idea of death comes from a prior idea that the child and the adult are two. The idea of death comes from that. But the adult and the child are the same. It's the timeline that makes them split. But they are the same. Always were and always will be. There is no death when we see them as combined, as the one manifestation. When they integrate, there is no death. It's just a manifestation that arises and falls. When it's in mind, it's arising. When it's not in mind, it falls. It's energy that moves from one form to another. But it doesn't die. The need to survive doesn't apply to the inner child. That's as a result of some trauma. But the inner child doesn't die. It's just a piece of the character that got frozen in time. Let him come home into Tito the adult.
I think I see where it happened. Yeah, I found it kind of personal.
Yeah, it is, yeah. But you're right.
Leave it there.
Yeah, you see it. The understanding is with you. You're fine. You're fine, yeah, but you hit it.
Yeah, you see it.
Oh, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, right. Pretty horrifying thing.
This is just the memory of it, the repercussions of it dissolving.
Yeah, it's
Kleenex.
Yeah. I can see the whole incident now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, the character hung in there for a long time.
He hung in there, yeah. Yeah. It's just the imprint, you know, made him want to survive, you know? The imprint of trauma.
It's nice to get rid of that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know that I got it completely gone, but it's...
It's all right. It's on the meltdown phase.
It's on the meltdown, yeah. Whew, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I knew you'd do the job on this.
Oh, sure, I'm only mirroring it. If you're doing the work, I'm only mirroring it.
Thanks.
Yeah, stay with the meltdown, Tito. Just stay with it till it all breaks.
Thank you. Phyllis?
Yes.
Remember we spoke?
I do remember. Yes.
So I was very interested in the conversation just before lunch about being completely non-contracted and then going into contraction.
Uh-huh.
So for lunch, I purposely went to a very lively place. And
great.
In the lively place, I sat at the bar, and there were televisions with football games, and this man sat next to me and started talking to me. And the man came to take my order, and in the middle of everything, my insurance agent called.
Ah.
So there was a lot of opportunity to watch exactly what happens, because it's very easy when you're sitting quietly to be open. And here's what I noticed, and I love your feedback about this. It was very easy when the man was talking, because he basically didn't need feedback. You know, you just could nod your head and say a few words. So that was quite easy. And he was very interested. I told him I was on break from a conference. He said, "What kind?" And I said, "Well, we're talking about non-duality and openness." And he said, "Oh, you mean like Jesus?" And that's how he understood. Then he told me how he was in the world.
Yes.
And it was lovely.
Yeah.
It was really lovely. And the waiter came a couple of times, and that was easy. Because in order to order, it only took a few seconds, right?
Yes.
So it's very easy. But then when the insurance agent called, and he started asking me all these questions, and asking me about something that happened last year, and so then I could even watch how things contracted, and I was very much in the thinking mind. And I don't know how it could be possible. I know it is, but I can't see the way to not do that. After the conversation, then back to quiet. But last time we spoke, this is what came up, and this is what you suggested that I work with or be with, is this tendency when in activity, when doing things like paying bills or having conversations, that it's a very different place and it's easy to lose. I forget the term that she used. What was the term they used for being very open? Being
expanded.
Not expanded.
Having focus.
No, well, someone will remember.
Yeah.
But in any case, it's that.
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, there's a wider view available to you.
Well,
you're looking from a wider place.
Yes, you don't experience yourself as a person.
Is it when seeing from pure consciousness?
No.
Zoom out, zoom in.
No, it was two words.
Big picture.
No, but that's all right. I should have written it.
No worries at all.
Yeah.
You know what you mean.
Yeah. So, I last time also I spoke with you, I told you I've been sort of having this sensation of falling, and then it stopped happening, and now it's happening, I'm falling very fast. So, I don't have a sense much of the time of being in a... being located anywhere.
Yes.
And so all of this going on without having a sense of location, sometimes I have to gather myself.
Yes.
Like yesterday I had to do some writing and I have to literally gather my mind. And then I can focus and do it. It requires a lot of thinking. And then when it's done. So I just would like to know more because I see this as important. And it's certainly something that I'm stumbling with.
Yes.
And I would love feedback on that.
So with the insurance agent, when you're in that scenario of where you've got a call on memory and facts and details, is the broader perspective, has it collapsed? Is it gone into memory? Is it just not anywhere?
I think it's always there. Because afterwards, there it is.
Okay.
So, but during the time of speaking, or if I'm, let's say I'm having lunch with people, I'm not, as you were speaking with her about having both at the same time.
Yes.
I don't have that experience.
Yes.
That's what I'm interested in.
Okay, so you said you think it's there all the time. Do you know it's there all the
yes.
time? Yes. You know it's there all the time.
I know it's there all the time because the moment the activity is over, there it is. It hasn't gone anywhere.
Hasn't gone anywhere.
No, but I don't have awareness of it.
Yeah. Yeah, so you trade, you invest fully in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I also noticed when I was coming out of the restaurant that I felt speeded up after I spoke to the insurance, that there's something, there's a like almost a physical moving faster, breathing different.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So all of that's a part of it too.
Great. So what if you were to slow down?
Yeah. While doing
yes.
these activities.
Yes. If you were to walk slower, to speak slower, mm-hmm. if you were to move slower in the world
mm-hmm.
during those activities.
That's good.
Yeah, because there's always a few things together like there's, that cause the contraction where we lose sight of the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And okay, one is we're invested in the story or we believe that all of our attention must be in the particular. Either way, there's a few different things that need to happen in order to make the sense of I present, then to make it believable. That's the other layer.
Mm.
The sense of I can be present with some attention back there. So when the attention completely leaves back there, are you believing the woman who is talking to the insurance agent? Are you believing the story that you're talking about?
I can't say. It's just more habitual. It's almost like a persona.
It's a persona.
You know, it's like the business persona.
Yes.
And or I can be in the party persona or yeah. the neighbor persona.
Yeah.
You know,
a role is being played.
Yes, a role is being played. It isn't even mattering if I believe it because it just comes up automatically.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's kind of important to know that you don't believe it.
I don't have any emotion around it. So
all
I think
right.
if I believe something, usually there's suffering or anxiety or something.
Yeah.
But nothing happens.
Okay,
something
it's just
like
functioning.
It. Just functioning.
All right. Okay. Okay. So then we're left with the speed.
Yeah, I think it's
speed
something.
Cranks it up. Yeah, yeah. So what I'm doing is looking at all the components to make it solid. But if we've only got a sense of you, that's a persona, that's a role being played.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's thin enough. With the sense of you and the persona, there is enough capacity, bandwidth, to come from the wider view, to come from the knowing of awareness and have the role be played.
Right.
There is enough.
Yes.
When the I story is being believed, there isn't enough. We can't do both. We just
yeah,
can't.
I think the I story could be believed, let's say if there's a situation where I'm being attacked.
All right.
That could... And
all right.
I can't think of one, but I know
okay.
that could, you know, if somebody is picking a fight with you or
yeah.
or
yeah.
complaining about something you did,
yeah.
you go automatically into
yeah.
a kind of resistance. Then I think that can be
okay.
the case.
Okay. Yeah.
But I'd say most of the time it's more the speeding up.
It's the speeding
yeah.
for you.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear, Phyllis, I'd love to hear you sometime saying, I get that some thoughts are believable, but I see the thought and I see the believability. And I can run with the thought, but not the believability part.
I don't think that there's ever believability with thoughts.
Ah.
I just think there they are.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right. Even if somebody's attacking you?
Yeah, even if somebody's attacking
so
you.
So it's more the fight or flight, the
exactly.
natural
it's reaction.
It's a reactive
it's reaction.
Animal.
It's reaction yeah. and then contraction. Just,
all right.
It's automatic.
All right, then. Then there would definitely be enough bandwidth for you to stay in awareness while functioning in the world. So habit is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The habit of using our brain in a specific way.
Right.
The habit of just completely investing, imagining that I've got to focus here in order to be professional or proficient or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Years of being a professional person would do it to somebody.
Right.
So there's a habit, and the speed is the easy one. Sure, you can slow everything down. And when you slow things down, it becomes more relaxed. So it might be that your actual own natural state is slower.
Yes, I think that's right.
And so when you jerk out of it, the speed is what enables this, the loss of connection.
Mm-hmm.
With the perspective from the wider view. I can't see anything else. I'm kind of really checking to see, is there anything else that's causing it? If there's no believability, then I can't see what would stop you having access to it. Habit.
It's a log habit. I can feel
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Just the way it's always been, and it's the way we've learned. And
the way you've learned.
Yeah.
Is to contract. In order to function, I contract.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like, you know, imagining that you're driving better because you're gripping the steering wheel.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly like that.
Yeah, it's like you're using too much energy mm-hmm. for something that actually can be managed better if
you relax.
If you relax.
Mm-hmm.
You're more connected with the car and the whole thing is moving smoother.
Yeah. Yeah, and the funny thing, when you're driving, you can be extremely relaxed and you don't need to contract at all.
No.
Actually, you do better if you don't.
You'll do better if you don't.
That's right. So that's not a problem. It's really
yes.
more about interaction.
Yes. So if you can do it in the car,
mm-hmm.
what's different about face-to-face with people? People who are asking you factual questions.
I think I have to ponder it, but off the top of my head, I think it's because I go into a role. I really do.
Right.
I think that we all go into roles with in different situations with different
sure.
people, and
sure.
so you know, there's a role of when I'm professional. There's a role when I'm
yes.
with family. There's
yes.
a role with a neighbor.
Yes.
With a friend.
So then have a look and see what happens when a role is being played. And does it really deserve all of your attention?
Mm-hmm. So watching it as it's going,
yeah.
which is what you suggested.
Yeah.
yeah,
and it's like, all right, so a role has to be played here. Let's stay in the background and see. Maybe she's not up to scratch. Maybe she's going to be a little bit sloppy, you know? And is that all right? Because it might be about maintaining a standard in your role.
Mm.
Yes. Whatever role is being played, it's like, you know, maybe something is trying too hard because of a standard or a value that has been set some time back.
So you're saying basically watch it as it's going on.
Yes.
So two things, watching it as it's going on and slowing down.
Yes.
Those two things.
And when you're watching it as it's going on, allow the standard to drop a tad.
Okay. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see how important it is. And I see that holding on to this is not necessary. So
yes.
it's just finding the way
it's finding the maneuvering
yes.
the way in to see
exactly.
the components that are making it solid for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you
yeah.
so much.
They're the three things. Yeah, I think it'll melt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. All right, thank you so
sure.
much.
Sure, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Can I just ask a question
yes.
now quickly?
Yes.
So I had something happen at lunch too, and I watched my body, like I think it's just my somatic memories of my body or something, completely change. But in my mind, I could watch it. But is there something about your body going in, like it's used to doing it too? Even mm-hmm. if you can watch it, it just, like my whole body changed. But my mind wasn't even there.
Hmm.
Does that make
Can sense? You come up and see? Let's. I want to know where your body changed.
What? This is my second time up here today.
Wait, isn't that just amazing?
Yeah. Okay, I'm a hog. I'm a jack hog. My body started shaking. Like I started feeling a lot of energy in my body.
And were you staying in the wider view and functioning?
I was. I was.
Is that what triggered it?
Was I? I felt like I was.
Wider view, that's the word.
Wider view.
The wider view, okay.
That's great. That's so cute.
Yeah, it's cute, yeah. Okay, so the wider view was happening for you, Brandy.
It was.
Right?
And I'm still actually experiencing it
yeah,
in my body.
There's some kind of tingling going on.
But, like adrenaline... And, like, it was just like if my mind would have attached to it very strongly, my body was still reacting, but I was watching it. So, my
question... But I'm missing something. I'm sorry, I just need the setup. So the wider view was active.
Yes.
And while you were staying in an activity that would normally take all of your attention. Is
yes.
that it?
Yes.
Because you were staying in the wider view, this trembling started in your body. Is that
no.
right?
No.
Okay. No. What happened?
I was judged. I was on a phone call and I was judged.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, autonomy, it's okay to be judged.
Yeah.
I was watching it, I was seeing it, and my mind was like okay with it, but my body wasn't. So maybe my mind made my body that way and I was fooling myself. But in massage therapy, there's something called somatics, where people can hold body memories in their body.
Yes.
So my question is, even if your mind isn't attached to something, can your body still react in the same
yes.
way?
Yes.
And so you're still experiencing it, and you just have to write it out, because your body's used to being that way in a situation like that.
So I can't answer that right now because there's something else to unravel. So if we ask your body, does your body feel that it was judged at lunchtime? Let your body talk. Tune into your body.
Yeah, I felt like adrenaline, like the feeling that you get when you're
judged. That's your response.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So then the concepts of stepping back stayed from your neck up. They stayed as concepts. Your whole, you didn't go with it. It was just the idea of stepping back and being autonomous. But the investment of the rest of you was still in the story of being judged.
Yeah.
So you felt it dualistically.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the concepts in the world don't get rid of the pain, when really where we are is in the dualistic being hit.
Yeah.
Right?
So I'm kind of halfway in, halfway out.
Yeah, yeah. Your spiritual concepts were active, but you were still invested in the story.
Mm.
You couldn't see it completely as a story.
Mm.
Okay. You were playing at observing the story, but really you were feeling the punch.
So it was in my mind.
Yeah, you were in your mind.
Yeah.
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 So my story about somatics really isn't true. It's really the mind.
It's about... Oh, no. Somatics happens, of course. The body has its own wisdom. In that situation, you went into the concept of moving back. You didn't actually move back.
I see.
You
okay.
see?
Yeah.
So I think that just kind of takes practice, really, of like, okay, I'm out of here. I'm going to observe this, and I'm not playing this game. When we use it as like a band-aid, doesn't really work. Whereas if you're stepping back before, if you're in the wider view, before the phone call came with the hit, okay, now it would have been like, oh, that's their point of view. That's their story. It's about them. It's nothing at all to do with me. You'd see it for what it is. It's like, so I can't take that personally. That's just, they're doing their thing.
Yeah.
You know, you'd
yeah.
see it from another perspective.
Yep, got it.
Okay, but you were already in there because you were available for it. So you were trying to scrabble back to minimize the pain. It's like, well, that kind of doesn't work.
Yeah.
So somatics are real for sure. The body has its own wisdom. And that's why integration is so important. It's so that the body catches up with what we know to be the truth. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's awakening from the neck up. That's no good. It's all of our frequency, the whole friggin' body-mind mechanism, the whole thing is involved in the one package.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hi.
Hi. This is, I haven't been doing anything for about 8 years. I was very involved in different actualization things.
Yeah.
Recently, Cameron is my cousin.
Ah, she's your cousin.
Yeah. and told me about this, so I just said, I felt a need recently to do something. But I'm not sure, I really got what you were talking about, when you were talking about consciousness, I get that about consciousness being a stream and that there's nothing wrong when you're in consciousness. I'm not sure I'm understanding the wider view. I want to really get this because I purposely did not read anything about you. I wanted to just come here and really get it.
Great.
With you in the room. So I'm not sure, though. I want to really understand the wider view. I'm at a point in my life right now that I think there's decisions coming up for me in the next year or two about what's next for me. And so I really, really want to really take advantage of this this work today and tomorrow.
Okay. So what's a regular day like in terms of what goes on inside your head? What stories are believed, not believed? What your mates might think and what really happens might be different.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you mean about my life or about my...
No, inside. Inside. Are you aware of the loops that your mind runs? Or are you... Do you believe everything that your mind says? No?
No.
Okay.
I'm not... I think I've, sort of been on automatic pilot for a while. I've had, a purpose the last couple of years to do certain things. And I feel like I work from a certain way of being all the time. And that's just who I am.
Tell me about that way of being. Is it purpose-driven?
Purpose-driven, okay. Yes. I mean, but just about the way I am with people, to be fair, to serve. I have a big thing about serving people. I don't know what's going on, but I'm very emotional the last couple of days.
Okay. Good.
And I hate being that way.
Love it. Love it, girl. It's beautiful.
But I do. I have a real. I want to make a difference. So I'm in the world that I, my work. I feel that I am in that field where I make a difference in the world. But I also have a really big work ethic.
Yes.
So I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
With the work that I've been doing, I'm working. I'm up at 4:30. I come home at 7. I don't have a life right now.
Yes.
And I don't like it.
Okay.
I realize that I don't have a life.
All right.
I mean, it was a big deal for me to come from Boston.
Yes.
Leave my job. I just got a really big promotion. I just said I have to go and take this week off and come here. I'm the one who fell asleep last night.
It's fine.
But
you're the only one who has a problem with that. Really, it's totally fine.
But I really realized, I've just been working so hard, almost like improving myself for the last 5 or 6 years, that I've lost a whole perspective of my life.
Yes, good. Good, yes.
And I'm trying to get that back.
Yes. So how will you know, or what will it feel like when you've done enough service?
I don't know. I think I'm close. I don't know. That's what I'm afraid of right now. I think that part of that is I don't want to look at it because I'm afraid what will be next. I'm afraid to look at what will be next. To slow down, to go back to the things that I felt like I always wanted to do, go back to writing, relaxing, you know, doing things like this.
Yes.
I get afraid about, will I have the money? Will I be able to help my family? You know, things mm-hmm. like that if I'm not working at the pace that I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what goes on with me when I look at that.
You're not good to your family either if you're just going to kill yourself from working.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've been feeling like this last year. I'm going to die.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not so much afraid to die.
Yes.
But I just feel yes. like I don't want to die right now.
Yes. But if you don't change, you might get plucked out.
Yeah.
Yes, that's there.
Yeah.
So, have you fulfilled your purpose?
I think... With you mean like the job that I'm doing yeah. right now? I think I'm close to that.
You're close. You're close to having served enough. You're close to the purpose. But these are things that keep moving the bar, you know?
I know.
How will you know when you've like, yeah, I fulfilled my purpose? Where's your benchmark?
Well, there isn't, because I thought I'd be all right if I did this, and now there's a new thing that came up, and...
The world is hungry, you know? Hungry for service, and it always will be. But you have to be in charge of when you've done enough of that. You have to be in charge, because it will suck you dry, and it still will be an insatiable thirst. There will always be too much work for those of us who are drawn to service. There will always be too much. Those of us who are drawn to service just see that work needs to happen everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there's something else that could happen. That's just how service rolls out.
But I don't want to give up service. I just don't want to be this tired.
Yes. Yes, okay. Okay. Knowing the boundary of the amount of service that is good for you, that's what we've got to find.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the squeaky wheel is calling you, constantly calling, and then there's another squeaky wheel, and that's calling you, and that's mm-hmm. calling you. I want you to be in charge of it, of knowing how much you can give, what you can give, and you have a clear boundary, and you can say no.
Right. I want that too.
Yes, good.
I know I'm sitting here thinking you're going to tell me how to do it, but... I know I've got to figure it out. I need help on how I do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel very lost yeah. about it.
Yeah.
I sort of always know what I want. I thought I knew what I want, and I always went in that direction. And I've been very successful in some areas of my life, and then in other areas, completely unsuccessful.
Sure. Sure.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's fine for me to, like, sit in it. I actually... been pushed to get up, and it comes. But I felt like if I sit here today, maybe think about it, and I'll be clearer tomorrow to come back and have some thought about what it is I need to do. I don't want to lose my opportunity here this weekend.
Okay. So the line of when it's enough service, how many hours a day, how many days a week, how many weeks in the year, practical stuff, that line must be drawn by you. Must be drawn by you. And the part that's kind of addicted to serving is going to make you feel guilty, make you feel it's not enough, make you gonna, like, other people, I could just do it in half the time, twice as effective than that other person. Every trick in the book to pull you back into it, your ego is going to recreate that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So expect a fight. You will be tested. But you've got to decide what the boundary is. You've got decisions to make. And, okay, let's say your promotion demands 70 hours a week, but you decide, actually, 50 is going to be my ceiling. And if things fall down around you, let them fall. You will be tested. You really will. You're at a fantastic stage in your life. It's fantastic. But if you don't rise to it, you know, shit's going to hit the fan.
Mm-hmm.
But you can rise to it. You're here. You're doing something about it already. You've already taken a week off. You know, you're doing something. You're hearing the call inside to make changes. You've got to decide how many hours a week you're going to work. That's the first thing. And you're going to decide, have some direction for what you're going to do with your new time off. And we're not going to fill it. We're going to have downtime. But there's going to be things that resource you, that help you to remember that there is life outside of service. It's like you've forgotten.
Yes.
The idea of purpose, you can bin that. You can trash can it.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
Yeah, it's useful for a while, you know?
Is that in, I don't know if that's just the way that I was brought up. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of limited, you know, the idea of purpose. It's like, heck, so my mind is supposed to grab an idea and I'm supposed to do that and then I'm supposed to feel fulfilled. It's like it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're doing what you're doing. If your mind likes it or doesn't like it, that's what we're working at, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Redesign your lifestyle. Expect a battle from your mind. It will come. And develop your authority to, like, I'm deciding how much service. I'm deciding what I'm going to do with my downtime. You've got to resource yourself with things that bring you joy, that make you feel light again.
Right. That's exactly what I don't feel right now.
No, you don't. No, it's gotten heavy.
Yes. Okay.
So you make decisions this evening, all right? You start planning this evening, and I want to see how it sits with you in the morning. It's like, okay, can I live like this or can I not live like that? That's what I want to talk to you about tomorrow. It's like, can I actually honor this? Not I have to. It's like, no. I have to means I won't, but I feel guilty because I don't. You see?
Right. Yeah, I do a lot of that.
Yeah, all those mind games. They gotta go. They gotta go, yeah. This is a way of cutting through the mind games.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks. Sure. Oh, yeah, here's something. Yeah, and then.
I was wondering if you would be willing to look at a dream I had last night. It puzzled me.
Sure, that's a new one.
Okay.
Sure.
And it has to do with my mother. My mother passed away 5 or 6 years ago, but I was at her funeral. And I was the one, even though I number 4 out of 5 children, that took charge. And was going to give a speech, and I was also going to sing a song that I had learned and that I sang for her on her 90th birthday that really hit her here. Oh, that hurts. But anyway, I started talking and I looked at her casket and I said, she was a remarkable woman. And this one woman starts mocking me. Oh, you just bullshitting, kind of, but that's not true at all. And I felt so insulted because I've had very, very hateful feelings towards my mother since I was a little child. But I stood up in my dream and said she was a remarkable woman. And this other woman comes up to me and she starts yelling at me, like, you're just bullshitting. And I went up to her and I said, you know what? This is not okay. I'm very uncomfortable with what you're saying. And that was the end of the dream. So I'm wondering, is there something that has really shifted inside of me about this energy towards my mother? Because I've always looked for her love. Did anything to get her appreciation or love. And so I did that in relationships. But this relationship that just ended, there was no problem. So is this kind of totally unraveling now, this need, you know, from my mom wanting, you know, I needed her love? Because that's why I'm feeling so peaceful. But that dream was just, wow. Mm-hmm. Is that what's happening? It's just like...
Were you also the lady of the opinion that, no, she wasn't a remarkable woman? Is that, was that your opinion then for some time? Or can that opinion... Is that opinion yours also?
Yes, I can see that is me.
Yeah.
But it, the other one felt stronger.
Stronger. That's what's interesting.
I realized that was me, too.
Yes, good.
Because
yeah.
That's how I've been
yeah.
most of my life.
Yeah.
I it was very difficult for me to talk. And, you know, I mean, she was remarkable in the way she did things, but as far as understanding me or my needs, that wasn't there. But the one that stood up, though, and said she was a remarkable, was stronger.
Was stronger.
Yes.
There you go.
So it's shifting.
Yes.
Yes. Wonderful.
The perspective of seeing her for who she really was.
Yeah.
As opposed to the roles that you guys played.
Yeah.
The perspective is actually stronger.
Yeah. I mean, intellectually, I have always said, oh, she's, you know, but there's still...
Yeah, sure.
But it is shifting.
So it is shifting. Okay. It is shifting.
Wonderful.
That's a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to ask.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great.
Hi there.
Hi there. I'll just bring this over here. A couple of things popped up. Make sure I cover everything.
Of course. Yeah.
We start. Is it really? I mean, I feel it is, and I kind of know it is. But I just want to get a few thoughts from you on that. As simple as, you know, just dropping it all and dropping everything, pretty much, and then, you know, that automatically seems to connect you to the truth that you are, and just letting life unfold from that.
Yes.
Place.
So dropping it all and dropping everything. You mean in your head. Or do you mean attachments to things? What?
Just dropping the whole story, the whole
yes.
identity.
The story,
much.
The identity. Yes, dropping those and the baseline of truth is there all the time. It's always been there.
Which we are.
Which we are until the identity with that goes also. Non-duality will take you to there.
Okay,
we
yeah,
are that.
Yeah.
That's
so
non-duality.
We're talking about the third layer.
And we're talking about another layer. It's like, all right, okay, just we actually, we're just swapping out a kind of, you know, an uncomfortable identity with the identity that we're all of it. And it's like, let's just drop identity altogether. Instead of moving it from a not so nice to a nicer zone, identity itself is a bit of an issue. There's no need for any identity at all.
So once we drop that, we go into the non-dual state, whatever. And then once we are there stable, or once we are that stable, then automatically that third layer comes in, or?
No, not automatically. A lot of people can hang out on the non-dual layer for lifetimes. There's a lot of non-dual teachers who absolutely disagree with me, and it's like, yeah. And once I poke holes in them, they're like, holy moly.
I usually play with that question, like, what is perceiving this?
Okay.
And can that be perceived?
Okay.
Or be seen?
All right.
So that seems to be what can...
Yeah. Where does it land you?
What is perceiving this lands me in non-dual layer.
Okay.
Like here.
Yeah.
And can that be perceived seems to be that absolute state or whatever.
All right. And are you that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not always that. No, but I know that that's where this question seems like just that question alone seems to connect you to that.
Yeah.
Pure essence of
yes
you
yes
or yourself or
that's
whatever
lovely
you call it.
When that's stable, the invitation is okay, let's strip identity from that absolute layer, identification with it, strip it.
Yeah I mean, you gotta, if you talk about it, you kind of have to put a word to it. No, or what do you mean, like strip it in what way? Just kind of not putting a label on it, or just kind of feeling into it, or I mean, I know where, like I said, once you talk about it, it always gets a bit tricky.
Yeah, it does. It does, you say.
But just letting it kind of, I mean, life unfold from that place, or like, I don't know how to explain it, but.
Okay, so the life unfolding is a kind of one conversation, and then shifting your perception to go prior to the absolute is another conversation. I'm not sure which one we're talking about, because one is concepts about how consciousness is constructed in the first place, how the absolute is constructed. That's that intellectual conversation. And the other one is about how to live in the world, no?
No, it's kind of from that place, it kind of, you see the human, this human, like, interact with life.
Yes, okay. Okay, so how it rolls out in life is that the thinking one isn't trying to improve on what's the life force that's moving him. He's kind of out of the way. And life happens and he just gets out of the way. Alright?
Yeah.
So that which moves all moves him too.
Yeah.
Now, if certain aspects of the personality of the dualistic lens are not in place, he'll end up being thrown this way and that way, and in the name of spirituality, oh well, consciousness is doing it, I'm fine with it, I'm totally accepting everything. It gets kind of tricky, because unless the humanity part is mature, then spiritual concepts will make whatever happens fine. And what we'll be doing is understanding life through spiritual concepts. Is that making any sense?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So it's not quite as simple as let life flow.
It seems to flow fine, though, when we just, like, let, you know.
Yes.
Again, from that place, whatever
yes.
place you want to call it.
Yes.
You let life unfold without much, you know, story going on. Or
yeah.
Any of that.
Okay.
It seems to work out just fine, no?
Okay.
It's not. It just feels right. I mean, for the person, it feels right. I don't know if there is much.
I don't know what I'm after. I'm after something. There's something simplistic in what you're saying. I'm after something. It's
like you said, it's simplistic, yeah, but it seems real, that simplicity in it, it seems like the truth, kind of, you know, all the other
yes.
stuff is just all
yes.
you know, the whole,
yes,
just a lot of words about
nothing,
about nothing,
just
yeah.
story making mechanism
yeah.
at play, yeah.
So, but what I'm seeing or trying to get maybe is it like, you know, I know it's enough, the simplicity. I know that
yes.
takes care of everything pretty much, but
yes.
yeah, I just want to kind of, you know, get your thoughts on it or your experience so I can...
It is enough, but be careful be careful that the simplicity doesn't disguise skills or experiences that need to be had.
That's where the thing comes into it. It was a little bit not tricky, but I can't. The whole reason that experience that have to be had, I feel like for the person, these experiences, like the second question that the lady had with the you know, everything's predetermined kind of thing, that I feel like that the person will have the experiences it's meant to have, and
yes.
will, you know, the skills
yes.
or whatever, all these things just gonna, life will take care of life pretty
yes.
much.
Yes, that's true.
If that's what's happening, like, with, you know, everything is, you know,
yes.
unfolding in a way, it's...
Yes. We can say that's true. But what you're saying and the way you're saying is also a hiding place.
So where's the balance, then? Where's the place where you... Not a hiding place, it's cause just kind of letting go of the, you know, mind creating life or telling
yes.
the story... what's
yes.
supposed to happen or
yes.
what we think it should happen.
Yes.
I don't know if you, it's a hiding place, it's just kind of understanding the, is what's going, is the, if everything is supposed or is predetermined in that way, that everything is happening in a way it's...
Okay. Okay.
Then everything that has to be experienced will be experienced, right? If...
Okay. But I want to know what's your total knowing from what you have seen yourself versus you're giving a beautiful explanation and it's right, but I'm not hearing as though it's coming from what you've seen yourself to be true. What have you seen yourself to be true?
Well, I've seen what I'm talking about to be true, but then I don't completely always trust it. Maybe, maybe sometimes, you know, the person still tries to think it out a little bit too much. But I feel that I feel the truth behind it. I don't live it all the time. I live it sometimes. I feel sometimes I don't.
Okay.
You know, sometimes the person maybe, you know, tries to. It's kind of in that middle way where you. That's why I said just kind of dropping all that too. But
yes.
It's kind of in that transition. I feel. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. I'm smelling something. Let's go on and see if I can find it someplace else. Yeah. My sense is that your system is kind of happy to have it worked out, but I prefer to hear it with the absolute certainty that, well, this is how it works.
I know, I completely feel that that's how it works.
Okay.
But it's still like a little bit, certain things are still like a rewiring or,
yeah,
you know.
There's something that's not completely there.
Few things have to still be dropped.
That's what I mean.
Sometimes it's there all the way, I feel. Sometimes it goes back. It's kind of a back and forth. It's like this, you know, person,
okay,
then non-dual, and then that it's kind of shifting around a bit.
Okay.
But are you saying that it's kind of, you know, the aim or whatever you want to call it, the goal is... Not the goal, but the thing where you just want to be, or where you are just completely certain that's how it is, without any doubt at all? Is that kind of where you're looking for that energetic
absolutely
place?
Exactly. I'm looking for an energetic sense from you that this is absolutely known to be so. And even when the person runs from here to there, that doesn't impact on this either. I'm looking for a deeper energetic resonance with the words you're saying.
Okay. Okay, I get it. Well, I guess it just has to be, you know, lift more and more. I think it's automatically kind of, you know, doing its thing.
It's automatically doing its thing. It is automatically doing its thing.
It's just kind of the awareness of it, and then, you know, it... Slowly, like I said, you know, letting go of this little thing, maybe that, and it kind of automatically feels too. But like you said, maybe the energetic thing behind it is not 100% as...
I don't think so.
I think it's on and off, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, I know it, I feel it, I know exactly what I'm saying. I feel the truth behind it completely,
yes,
and I feel it.
Yes.
But then, you know, living it in that state, you know...
You're not completely
partially
in it.
Yeah.
You know it, but the knowing is talking, but the personality guy is saying... I know it, but it's kind of intellectual when I'm playing my story, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, walk your talk. Did I hear that phrase?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's walking your talk, yeah. There's an energetic kind of authority that comes from when you're speaking.
It's always
that
a bit
place.
Difficult to talk about these things in a way. Sometimes it's like the knowing, you know, but then when you put words to it, yeah, tangle myself up
too.
A bit, you know,
there's
so it's a bit of that, but I get your point with it, so...
Yeah.
I'll play with all that.
Yeah.
Another thing is a part that I know we talked about this once before. I think, you know, this whole thing here doesn't, we know it's all kind of whatever we call it, the dream. And it really does, I know it is, but it often or mainly feels that way too. It's like, you know, it doesn't even just seem like you seem to see energy all the time, and you don't really see, nothing seems properly real.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, if there has to be a little adjustment there that has to be done. Like the whole world, you see it, everything. You, now when I'm talking to you, you kind of see the whole circus here.
Yes, it's a circus.
Yeah,
yes.
So I don't know if that's maybe that something energetically has to be adjusted a little bit too, to not, or is that normal that you just feel that or see that?
And,
or
and tell me about the perceiving mechanism that sees the circus. Is he watching the circus? Is he part of the circus? Where is the circus being seen from? Does the circus see the circus?
Well, that's again the non-dual and the absolute layer, kind of when you're all the way back there, then the circus sees the circus, I feel, or I see the circus, like, but then, you know, when I'm just in the non-dual state, then it's, the circus is being seen. Does that make sense?
By something that's not the circus?
No, the non-dual state is still part of the circus, yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
So, but, I mean, that's, again, it's just a bunch of words about, you know,
okay,
what do you want to do with it, really?
When it shows up as a circus, is there any trace of judgment on it?
No, it becomes, maybe it looking back, sometimes that comes in, maybe, yeah. But more like, it's more like a comedy, I don't know, like a cosmic joke, I call it myself.
Yes.
I don't know, it's just a,
yes.
I know it's all good for itself, you know, just fun, but.
Yes.
I don't know, I wouldn't want to call it judgment, but it's just, yes, like I said, one whole cosmic bubble.
Okay.
Bouncing around.
Okay. And you, this guy.
Yeah?
Star performer in the circus, or?
Not star performer, just one of the 7 billion.
All right.
Or not, you know.
Yeah,
just,
yeah,
consciousness,
yeah,
expressing itself.
Yes, okay. Okay.
But again, like I said, it's kind of, there's something you feel when you, does something have to be adjusted there a little bit? I feel something is a bit too, I don't know, like I said, because if it, you have to, like, sometimes you have to almost like pinch yourself to be here again, because it's just, it's a whole dreamy, often it's a bit, feels a bit too dreamy, it doesn't feel real, like I said, you know?
Yes.
I know it's not real, but
yes,
the human.
Yes.
I'm just talking in circles here, but
you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, because I'm kind of checking you out, you know?
So anyway, the point is, like, do you feel like something is like a little bit off energetically that can be, you know, implemented or adjusted a little,
yeah,
bit different? So it's
when it shows up as kind of the joke quite a lot, like as a not solid enough. When that perspective is there very often, it's usually because we're not grounded. It's like we're a little bit outside of the body. We're kind of half in, half out. Whereas if we're grounded in our body, connected to the earth, we have a capacity to make it seem real. I'd like you to be able to play with that. So that when it's appearing as a circus, that you can, like, okay, can I get more into the physical dimension and see that it becomes more solid? Just that forms become more solid. It's still a joke, but that it can come in and out. I'd like to see you being able to shift kind of at will between the different lenses of perception. When it's a cosmic joke quite a lot, it's like our body is here and our energy body, the chakra system, is up like this. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see you come right in and be really grounded and embody the work you've done. Really bring it into your body. Mm-hmm. And then it just feels like, oh gosh, it's just showing up as not real right now, and you can literally tune into the body and it's like, there it is. It's become solid again.
Yeah, getting,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You should be able to switch in and out of those.
Yeah.
But it's about grounding and integrating and pulling right into the physical form. And it's kind of nicer not to hang out in the physical form. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's very dense here. But the thing is, like, all of it is consciousness.
Yeah.
All of it. See if you can play with that. See if when it's appearing as a cosmic joke and not solid, even here, you know, because here it's kind of high now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of buzzy, you know. So it's like, whoa, can I drop right in and send roots through my feet into the core of the planet? Come right into the physical body and just watch it. It's like, whoa, perception changes. And it becomes more solid.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like you to be able to do that at will, even,
yeah,
though we've no will, do you know?
Yeah.
But to be able to, like, Can I access this other shift of perception here?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That'd be good. It can really help with integration. It's just a simple technique.
Play with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? This is just a fun little question, but is it like, you know, all these, I was used to really love the whole, you know, galaxies, gazillion galaxies and all that out there and stuff, but that's all just imagined too, right? There's not really,
It's the same as all the rest of the story. It's valid within its own kind of...
So is there actually something out there, or is it just all energy moving, or just empty space?
I mean, how far out there do you mean?
Well, you know, when they show the Milky Way galaxy and then all these other little galaxies and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I mean, who knows? I mean, it's all just imagined, right? It seems like that. It's like, what is there really out there? Or is it just, I don't know if it matters even anyway, but...
Yeah.
You know, we see like, this is our galaxy, the Earth is placed there. And then you can zoom out a little further and you see all... You had it even once on your website, I think. Well, you know, when it just zooms out further and further and further and further, it shows like all these little galaxies, you know, flying through that, and then you further out, then it's like microclusters or whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
So is there such thing, or is that just all kind of part of the whole dream?
It's all part of the dream, all of it. And there legitimately are loads of galaxies, like loads of galaxies, but they're in the dream, the same way as you and I are in the dream. It's the same dream. It's just the one dream. There is nothing phenomenal that's outside of the dream. Nothing that can be named that's outside of the dream. Consciousness itself is actually already in the dream. It's already in the dream. But it's just kind of the finest point, you know? If we're going to manage in the dream, we tend to go to there, and the dream is seen to be a dream then. So within the dream, yes, of course. There is everything that presents as real, including galaxies, and everything that can be imagined. Consciousness does two versions. So certain things can be imagined, like I can imagine a purple apple. There mightn't be one in existence, but I can imagine one right now. But it doesn't manifest as something. And so galaxies, yeah, of course. We'll always keep discovering things, of course. Because there's infinite possibilities of how it manifests, of what it creates. It's infinite possibilities. It's infinite possibilities of what can be imagined and infinite possibilities of what it presents as real within the dream. But it's all dream material. All of it. If it can be named, it's dream material.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Last thing. we always talk about the, like, the whole, you know, drop all desires and all these things, like we talked with,
Brian.
Brian. But is it like, I see, like I was used to, I don't really like to play the desire game really much, like, you know, but in general, like, isn't it like just you, again, from that place, you just play and let the human form play it out in all kind of whatever way, like desires are fine, you know, needs are fine, it's like whatever, but not in a... Just kind of let the human form play it out in whatever way it wants to play out, no? It doesn't, it's like, you know, drop all desires. It's always just like this, drop all desires because desires are suffering, all this stuff, which if you just play with it all, it's not really suffering for the human human form. It's just a whole big play again. Because desires are not really suffering, to me at least. I don't know, like, it's just, you know, you play with them, they come. They don't. It's just a whole big, again, whole big play game.
Okay.
So it's not like that, you know, all these things have to be in a certain way that this human form...
So when a desire arises, do you see it as a desire? Or do you get caught in the desire and it grabs you and you actually are going after something?
No, it's just like something flowing by.
Okay.
And I can either play with it or not. But it's not like that, you know, it's a big deal. It's like, you know, this whole thing, desires... All desire is suffering and all this stuff, that doesn't really...
Work for you. It doesn't work like that for you. You're very lucky.
Yeah.
For most people, desire, and this is how it was for me, desire would be like an obsession. Like, towards the end of the game, when I was really kind of onto them, if I followed a desire, it ended up always sticking my face in the muck. Following a desire, taking that action, always ended up in suffering. Always. And I can remember switching around thinking, wow, like there is suffering in my body, there is suffering in my thoughts. I feel like crap. And I know that this is because I bought the idea that, ooh, I go after that.
The person.
Yeah, yeah, the Jack character. Yeah, yeah, I go after that because somehow that's what I want. And when I followed that action, my mud would be in the face. My face would be in the mud. And there would be a lot of suffering on every level. And I did it again and again and again until it finally was like, enough, actually, all desires have to go. That's how it was for me.
But there's nothing wrong with desire, so either, I feel, it's just like I said, you just gotta...
But your relationship with desire is different. When I had desire, I was attached to them. Mm-hmm. There was some investment that it's gonna make me happy. There was. Because I lost something. I lost the wider view. I lost something else. I traded something and followed the desire. And of course, it ended me up being completely disconnected from the awareness of what I was, what I am. Do you see?
Yeah.
So for me, no, it was torture. And then all desires have stopped. But there's a preference, and I have fun and do stuff, of course. I have sex, whatever, enjoy nice food, whatever, you know? So, but there isn't desire. There isn't desire. I just participate in these things just because that's what my life is presenting. Mm-hmm. But it's not motivated by desire. So if I get something or I don't get something, it makes absolutely no difference. Doesn't touch my state, if I can call it that. Mm-hmm. You see?
Yeah.
So it sounds like desire has never caught you in that way.
Yeah, I just never, like, when I hear those statements and stuff from people or in general, I was like, you know, there's nothing wrong with desires, really. I mean, it's always like I said, if you see it as a whole big game, and if you kind of play with it in whatever way, like you said, it doesn't really matter if it happens or not. It's fine either way, the desire. Then
your wiring is different to most people. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, the you know, I mean, if we see the whole thing the way it is, I guess, like, if we kind of understand the movie, then desires are just, you know, just another little game. I feel that's how it's been for me, but I just want to clarify that if that's...
That's fine. If it works for you, if it works for you and you see them as a game and there's no... It doesn't waver, it doesn't change your understanding of the mm-hmm. movie, then that's fine. That's fine, but that's very rare.
Okay.
Because if you know that desires of the game are a game all the time, and you can follow them or you can't follow them, and it legitimately makes no difference if you follow them or not. All right, there's a great freedom
and
there.
And then is it again predetermined which ones I'm going to follow or not? Or
of course.
That too, then. So.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. So if...
Well, yeah, just, you know, I know predetermined and stuff, but it's, I mean, I can walk out here now or not walk out here, that, I mean...
It does look like you have an option, doesn't it? It does look like that. It does. I mean, logic says, yeah, you can walk out the door if you want. Logic says that, but actually... You don't
no,
have
but
a
my
choice.
My being feels like you'll be here, right? But I can just, you know, play with that and just walk out still. It's not gonna...
Yes.
I can, but I, for my being and my energy and stuff, it, you know, the without the person, it feels like, you know, I'm in here, right? I'm going to be in here.
Yes.
But I can still feel
yes.
like... You know what I mean?
You're saying...
Just a stupid example going out of here, but I'm just saying in general, like... The whole predetermined thing doesn't really 100% resonate in that way, I would say. But I don't know if I'm not getting something there completely, maybe. Because it feels like you still have a little bit, like, you know, or the consciousness can play it out in whatever way it wants to play it out. But it's not all, you know, in that moment, it just plays around with it.
From one perspective, it looks like that. From another perspective, there's only one way it is going to play out. It really does look like we've choice, like, because that's the thing, that's what you're saying. It looks like consciousness can go any which way. And it can from that perspective, but actually if you come back from the wider view, no, it's actually only going to go in one direction. If you can see that this is already finished, if you can see that we're this circus is a playback, it's like we've rewound and we're playing something that's already finished. If you can see that, then it's much easier to see how it played out was always written, because it's already finished.
Yeah, that part last time, that's one thing that'll be the last thing.
No, it's fine.
That everything already happened, I think I've mentioned that last time quickly, but that doesn't...
You can't see that? You haven't seen that?
Not completely, no.
Okay.
So I don't know if you can say a few words to that. That'd be...
Ask in your own, walking in the woods or whatever, just ask, okay, show me if this is in the can. Show me if this is in the can. You know? Show me if this is all over. Show me. Prove it to me. Give me evidence. Make me wise here. We can invoke things, and what it does is it steps the mind aside and allows its limitations to drop a little bit. It's like we're like wide open. The parameters of what's acceptable and normal pulls back. You know? Mind isn't comfortable with these things, but it will respect it if the wisest part of you knows it to be true. So it's for you to invite that part to tell your mind.
So just kind of ask for evidence and just play with it from the inside out there.
Yeah, yeah. Play with it from the inside out and ask for evidence. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, good enough.
Yeah. And I just want to double check one more thing with the desires. If there's a desire arising... If you follow the desire and you don't get what you were playing for, is your state the very same? Do you feel the very same?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you're very lucky. Yeah, you're very lucky. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I would say 99% of the time it's just, you know.
Yeah. That's unusual.
Whatever.
That's unusual. But, so know it, because to tell other people desires are fine... It's not okay for most people. They're not okay for most people. It's hell for most people to follow their desires. It's the thing that makes this all appear as real. Most people don't see it for the circus that it is. They might get the odd glimpse, or they might feel relief when they hear you saying that, but they actually are not, they don't know that for themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to see all this consolidating a bit more and to see what consciousness is going to do through you because of the seeings that you do have. You have a funny mixture of seeings that's happening to you in a very untraditional way, which is beautiful, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And let's see what you'll do with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do for work?
I do a mix of real estate and some life coaching.
Ah, okay. Okay.
And then just play with life.
Yes, yes, you just play. Yes, of course, you just play. Yeah, yeah.
I don't really have much like a set thing of, you know.
Yeah.
I just kind of let life happen.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, it's kind of, you know.
Yeah.
All bouncing around a bit.
Yeah, yeah, it's bouncing around a bit.
But just, you know, like I said, from the wider lens.
Yeah.
Let life happen seems to be the most natural place.
Yes.
Of, you know.
Yes. Do you or have you ever had insight into kind of the engine room of consciousness? Like, in a way this isn't even true, right? But I'm trying to find a particular place to see if you've accessed it. Can you go to where manifestation is kind of rolls out? Where a manifestation rolls out from? Like where the script is written? Have you access to that?
Yeah, mainly in silence. Like in silence, I feel what you're talking about. I think.
Yeah.
Not a thing, but yeah.
And
we're kind of the, you know, that place, yeah.
Yeah, that engine room, the place that, yeah, the source of how it's going to roll out. And have you played with changing things to make things happen for yourself? Have you gone into the engine room and played with the engine a little bit to make it function differently?
don't know exactly what you mean. Like,
so in the silence, when there's access to the script writing place for consciousness, the movement that makes things roll out the way they do. Have you ever gone in and played and make things happen for yourself in a different way?
No, not that I can
remember. All right.
But in, like, good thing to do? Or play with that?
You've got, yeah, there's no free will. It completely clashes with the free will thing. Sorry, I know it sounds completely confusing, but there's all these different places of where reality appears as differently. So I'm just zoning up to something. Because you have access to that engine room. And it would be just interesting to see if you played with it or not, if you wanted to play with it or not.
But play with it and then expect a different
yeah, sure.
unfolding or
yeah, sure. It's like, okay, next 5 listings, I'm going to sell them within 2 weeks each, right?
I just play with the whole...
Yeah, yeah, but from that place in the silence, from there, not like manifesting down here, changing your thinking or none of that, but actually from deep there in the silence, you have that ability to do that. And I know 2 other guys that do it. And it's funny, it's men, huh? And one guy, it's totally been a block for him. And the other guy, he's a life coach. It's funny. He's a life coach too. And he does it, but he does it cautiously. He kind of watches it because it can go into a little bit of fear for him. So I just wondered, if you do it, what happens to you? It can go either way. It can go either way because you have access to it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and just the thought comes in again about it's already all written, like you said, you know, so
yeah.
How can I really, I could, if you can imagine it, you can kind of rewrite it for your own experience, then I guess you can, yeah. Right?
Yeah, sure. It's simple. It's the same as like you're imagining that you're going to walk out the door at 5 o'clock, or, but whether you do or not is already written. So, I'm giving people kind of pointers here of how maybe to shape their consciousness in another way, to give it broader, as if they have choice, because this was already written as well. So I'm just opening another door, saying whether you do or not is already written. It looks right now that you have an option. So let's play with the option and see if it digs up something.
Yeah.
We've got these different perspectives. And I suppose it seems like this weekend I'm doing a lot of see if you can hold all of them together. See if you can see where they actually don't clash at all. Do you have the bandwidth to hold every perspective at the same time? Do you see?
Yeah.
And that's the thing that expands your field of consciousness. That's where you can come in and out of any story, but at the same time you know where, you know the totality of where it's valid and where it's not valid and where it's real and where it's not real. And you've no, it doesn't clash. There's no paradox at all. There's no mystery at all. It really is no mystery. You see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that, yeah.
You see? So that's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll play with that too.
Yeah, yeah, play with that. Yeah. Play with that. Yeah, yeah. So that all the layers are valid, you know? But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what do you do if you go into the engine room that where you can change the outcome, where it plays as though you can change the outcome. What actually do you do there?
Mm-hmm. But you almost don't go there to feel like you're going to change the outcome. I think you kind of go there with that, with a different energy though, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
What would that be like?
All right.
And what do you do?
In the engine room.
Yeah, what do you do? What do you do? Do you go like, no, this doesn't feel right, and you don't do any of it?
Okay.
Or, I'd love to know what you do.
What you know.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Does anything else pops up, or
yeah.
All good?
Yeah, no, you're fine. You're fine. just get you more grounded, more here, more in the body. So you've so the solid part is can be switched on. The solid part, you can make it solid. Mm-hmm. So that your MO is, I'd like to see your normal way of being where you see it as solid. That's the normal one, but you know it's not real, but you see it as solid. Then something is honoring the physical a bit more. So it allows for much more integration.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Perfect. Thank you so much.
Sure, thank you. Paula. Hi.
I'd like you to give a little more clarification around desires and needs.
Desires and needs.
Because you brought up saying that Eric needed order.
Yes.
Now, is that an egoic need? Is that a need from... So I'm playing with, well, desire is definitely an egoic thing.
Sure.
And needs would be, you don't need an ego to have a need.
Oh, yeah,
let's
for sure.
For food or,
yes.
or sustenance,
yes.
et cetera. So, can you give me a little more clarification what you mean by desire and need? I'm confused.
Ah, okay. You know what's an interesting thing to do is to make a big list and of all the stuff that I think I need and desire, and then see if you can start pulling them out. Because they're slightly different for everybody.
Well, that's what's for me confusing. I mean, all egos need this, would need, not all egos desire the same things. But
so
way,
for,
yes.
for you to be a balanced, autonomous human being,
yes.
what are the needs there?
Shelter, food,
mm-hmm.
love, safety, security. Yeah.
All right.
Well, we're social, so we need contact.
Yes.
Contact.
Yes.
And not living alone, but living in a community or an environment.
Yes.
What kind of shelter?
See, that's the thing. Is like, desire will come along and push bells and whistles on the food, on the shelter, on the love, on the relationships, on...
Well, that was my next question, too. When you live in a tent, and we see many people living in tents.
Many people live in tents, but...
And some people live without a tent.
Yeah, I can't. I get sick. I've done that roughing part of my life. I can't do it anymore. It's just not an option anymore. I know I get sick, and that would be stupid. Because then I'm going to be dependent on others, and that, why would I do that? Mm-hmm. You see? So I know, no, I can't do that. I have a basic need for
so a basic... that has nothing to do with desire. That has to do with this actual...
Exactly.
Physical.
And our needs change as life goes on.
Yes.
So finding out what the needs are for you, you've got to find out what they are. But your own self-awareness, your own self-knowledge, your own self-honesty will tell you, when am I putting bells and whistles on this? When am I adding extra stuff? Because that's desire coming in on top of a need.
So bells and whistles would be the desires.
Yes. Yes. And then there's the other desires that are completely and totally, you know, just nothing at all to do with your needs. You know, the desire web is much bigger than the needs web.
Well, I guess I've always associated, because I like order.
Yes.
I like things to be
orderly. Yes.
And I've always thought of that as being very, a very small self, very, very egoic very, well, certainly not spiritual, right?
Yes.
So when you said that, it was like, wait a minute. You know, I really do need things to be ordered.
Yes, it really helps you to function well if things are ordered. It does. So can you set things up so that they're ordered, but you're not going to be contracted about it if they're not?
Mm. I'm working on that. Because I live with a very disorderly person.
Yes. So does my husband. Yes.
He's not here.
Yes.
Yeah. And this has been a struggle. And I've always looked at it when there's something wrong, you know, I should be more disorderly.
Yeah. Sorry, the conversation is distracting. All right. So, all right. So it supports you to be ordered, that's fine. If somebody else isn't ordered, why would there be a judgment about that? So giving him space to be a total mess, that has to be there, no?
Yes, yeah.
So then some capacity within yourself has to be, because the stuff that he touches is going to be a mess. So there has to be some capacity for that. The controller will try to have everything ordered. Huh. That's the controller coming in. And being tight about it.
Yeah, I feel it's helpful when I don't label.
Yes.
And I'm not labeling.
Yes.
I don't put I don't even want to say judgment, because if I say I'm not labeling it, then it disappears.
Yes. Yes. That's the ideal. Because the labeling of order and not order, and the labeling of desire and need, it's in the dualistic realm. And if you can step back from that and you don't label it, there's no problem there at all. No problem at all. It's all just flows. If you can do that, that'll be fantastic. Then we don't have to work in that dimension. Whereas it doesn't arise in the first place without the labeling. That's wonderful. If you have access to that, that's the higher jump. Go for it.
I think I mentioned to you, I went through this whole, it lasted a week. Being sucked into the circus. And the ability to not label, the ability to step back was not there.
Okay. Okay.
It only took a week
to spin it out.
To let it just, it did its sort of cyclone thing.
Yeah.
And you said to somebody, what was the payoff? And what was the payoff to having it?
Yes.
Oh, but it was exciting.
Because to be caught in the drama was exciting.
Yes. It was only afterwards I realized that. So there was the drama queen every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And not to label that.
So the buzz that you get out of the drama queen, can you live without that? Let's say she was to die off.
Yes.
Took a long time to come. That yes,
it took a long time. I had to dramatize that. Yes. Yes, it took a long time.
It did, Paula.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there is a buzz there.
Uh huh.
Would that be a desire?
Yes, it's full of desire.
Yes. Okay. So I'm getting clear about what you think or what desire means here.
And you'll find the thing that got you caught in the story in the first place was a desire not being satisfied or a desire being threatened or something. You'll find desire was underneath the very reason you got caught.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You see? Yeah.
Do you know how lucky you are that it doesn't happen to you? Really, really.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you've been given a bit of grace.
Yeah.
If someone said to me, you have desires, I'd say, I don't have any desires.
When you're not active, you don't. When they're not active, when there's no personal I, no, they're not there. But the belief in the personal I and the desire, they come up together.
Thank you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The I want, you know? I want it to be like this, and that's it. So I can see how the order, I want order, can be confusing for you. Because desire can get in there.
Oh, yeah.
So quickly, do you know? But okay, you found a way around it with no labeling. But it's like, if you order things for yourself, that's just your way of managing the world. It ends there. That's just your style. It ends there. And then you bleed into how somebody else upsets you or, you know, it's like, no, it's just your way of being. That's his way of being. So what? There's no story there. There's no drama there, actually. There isn't. Unless you make it. So we have little dramas and we have big dramas. And the big drama can last a week. So is life so boring that there has to be a buzz and a drama queen that rises up every now and then for entertainment? Or what's going on? Do you get bored with the stillness?
I think it comes more out of fear. It's more fear than boredom.
Okay. So fear arises and then...
And then...
The scenario...
A scenario drops in, yeah. Definitely fear.
So why are we running that fear? What's that fear about?
Just popped in my head. Not enough.
Not enough. Mm-hmm. You who is God, manifesting as Paula, believes there's not enough. You who are all of it, is believing in the concept of lack. And here's the experience playing out, in your mind at least.
There's certainly a concept that's believed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So do Byron Katie's work on that belief? Pulling it apart, finding out where it came from and really seeing, well, is it true? Is it true that there actually isn't enough?
I have worked a lot on it, actually. This is why I'm surprised that it fell in again.
What's in it for you? Gives you an opportunity to be drama queen. Gives you that. Entertainment, distraction, novelty, are those things of interest to you?
Running through.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good.
What comes to mind is premature transcendence. Like a step is missing. There's a step that it has to do with this. Something I haven't done enough of it. I mean,
yes.
Now there it goes again. It's not. I didn't even do enough work on this.
Yes.
So it's not enough.
It's not enough. Yeah. Yes. Or is it that you didn't have enough fun, or enough novelty, or enough? Is the lack showing up there? And is that what's making you get the distraction and the juice out of being a drama queen? Is that compensating for something?
I don't quite get what you mean.
Okay. So I'm looking at the distraction, the novelty, the juice in story, mm-hmm. right? Does that compensate for something that you didn't have enough of?
I haven't thought of it that way. I can't even think of what I didn't have enough of.
Huh. But yet there isn't enough.
Yes, it's very nebulous.
Yes.
I mean, when I was a kid, I didn't get a bicycle, you know.
Sure.
That kind of stuff, but
sure,
you know, wouldn't.
Sure.
No, I don't see that as... In fact, I've always had enough.
Yes. Yes.
And now I have more than enough.
Yes.
So it's not logical. It's
no.
Not.
No. Yeah.
So there must be something fundamental underneath it all that is perceived as lack. Not in the physical world. Material world.
Yeah, the evidence is to the contrary.
And I am also surrounded by love.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, being poor, love is being poor. So, what is it? All needs are met.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my desires are met if I have them.
Mm-hmm.
We classify desires as the bells and whistles of whatever.
Yes.
So what can it be? I don't know.
Keeps the show going though, doesn't it? Any belief will do, really.
Oh. We're getting close, Jack. Any belief will do.
Yes, any belief will do.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the energy of the belief that plays out a story. It's not about the story of the belief. It's the energy of the belief. Somehow that's something that you dance with a little bit. Because it keeps the show going. Gives you, you know, something to dance about for a while.
And if that energy around the belief is dissipates, or is dropped. What came to mind is what you were saying to Tom. Just quit.
Yes. Yes.
Who are you when you quit?
Yes.
It's like, who is this without that
energy? And it's like a spiral, actually. It's like that. It's like a little...
So what happens?
An energetic thing that you just get sucked up into. Yeah. So if you can get a handle on it being an energy twist.
Thank you.
You can find it, can't you? Yeah. Yeah.
It's unbelievably, I want to use the word devious. The way the mind works.
Yes. Yes. Turns it into story, and then we get caught trying to fix the story.
Well.
Well. Great.
Thank you so
much. Yeah, you're very welcome. Yeah. I feel like I'm getting fuzzy. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we call it a day?
Yes.
All
right.